Hello and welcome to the Pueblo Star Journal's podcast for the Pueblo mayor election. I'm Ben Kaysen here with Larry Atencio. Larry, how are you doing today?
I'm doing real well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited. This is one of my favorite interviews that we've been doing. We've been working through kind of the big mayor election coming up. Again, the election's November 7th, and keep an eye out for that. Make sure you go out and vote. And for our podcast, go check out what all of the different candidates have to say. I'm excited to go with Larry today. Let's talk with Larry about stuff. So let's start with, if you won the election, what would you like to see Pueblo look like at the end of your term, 2028?
Really, at the end of my term, I would really like to see Pueblo progress in terms of quality of life. My campaign slogan is Think Bigger Pueblo. And I think that's what we've got. We came through that pandemic. I think everybody's down in the dumps. We need some life to be put back into the community. What I'd like to see is I've been trying to get that softball complex done, the aquatic center. That should get done in another 4 years. Other things, too. I'm going to be asking my all the district council people, bring a capital project from your district. Go to the people, find out what they want in their district, a capital project, and bring it to city council, bring it to the mayor, and let's work on it together to get it done.
So talk to me about these city projects and things like that. Yeah. Why do you feel like that's a big step towards this goal of kind of enlivening Pueblo again?
Well, the federal government does really big things. State government does big things. Local government is where the rubber hits the road. You need a park, build it. You need a building, build it. You need something for the constituency, build it. This is where it gets done at the city level. This is where quality of life things are happening. Yes, there's big issues, and yes, we have problems, but we can overcome those problems. We can overcome the issues by working, by making the whole picture bigger rather than just dealing with the specific problems.
How would you address crime in Pueblo as the mayor?
Right now, 5 years ago, I brought an idea from Chihuahua, Mexico. I had made a trip with sister cities. And they gave us a tour of their police department. They have a real-time crime center where they have cameras all over the city. And they have a cadre of people sitting behind a dais looking at the computer screens. And they're watching everything that's happening within the city. It just so happened that there was this one guy trying to hijack a car. In real time, they were watching him. He was unsuccessful. But the police started chasing him, and the cadre, looking at the computer screens, were telling him what street this guy was going up and down. 8 minutes, he got caught.
Wow.
We could do that in Pueblo. And it's happening all over the country. It's starting to happen. Real-time crime centers are popping up in a lot of cities all over the country.
So what steps would you take as the mayor to make that a reality?
Well, right now, the police department is doing a shot spotter. That's phase one. Phase two, phase three, phase four, whatever, how long it takes. We've got to get these cameras up and running all the business districts and in areas where are real prone to crime, where there are problem areas, put up cameras and we'll be able to take care of it. It won't solve crime, but it'll help the police solve crime.
How would you address affordable housing in Pueblo?
That's a real big issue. I've been working with the Housing Authority, with Habitat for Humanity. I've been working with IndieDwell. I've been working with these people, trying to get infill housing in some of the old neighborhoods. My district is District 2, which is the Lower East Side, needs help. What we need to do is infill that neighborhood, these old neighborhoods that are decaying and drying up, with families that are going to take care of that neighborhood again, bring that neighborhood back up to where it was. When I was growing up, I grew up on the Lower East Side, and everyone took care of their lawns. Everybody took care of their families. They took care of their homes. It was really, really nice. And we could do that, but we have to infill all of the old homes that need to be refurbished, the vacant lots that need to be built on. That's what we got to do.
How do you incentivize people to come in and do that in those communities?
Well, we're going to have to think out of the box, so to speak. How do we get that first-time home buyer with a little one or two children in the family to buy that home? Because that's what happened to me. My wife and I bought back in 1972. we bought a home and I worked on it and I worked on it to the point where I got the price up, sold it, and we moved into our forever home and we're still there. So what we have to do is these beginner families, get them into that first home so they could build some equity in that home, sell it, move up to another home, sell it, move up to another one. That's what the American dream is all about. It really is. Home ownership, generational wealth. That's what we've got to do.
So what would you do to address homelessness as the mayor?
Well, homelessness is a big, big problem. I personally think it's a national problem. Back in the 80s, when they shut down all of the mental institutions all over the country, that was the beginning of the problem we have today, because those people had no place to go. No, it's going to not solve all of the homeless problem, but I would say whatever majority, whatever percentage there is of the homeless that are mentally ill, they need to be taken care of. And city cannot do it. It has to be done by the federal government. Federal government has to invest in mental health again, and it has to come from there. As a city official, as a mayor, I'll have contacts with federal government and our legislators, and I'll lobby them to do exactly that.
So what's one issue that may not have a ton of attention that you would like to dig deeper on? So something that maybe people don't talk about a bunch that you're excited about.
I'm excited about every single one of them. But one of the things that we have to do is 49% of the population of Puebla is Latino. The biggest majority of people under the poverty line are Latino. How do we bring that population up? President Kennedy once said, if you help the people at the bottom, all boats rise. That's what we got to do. We can't be for instance, the East Side. It's always been disparaged. It's always been discarded. Nobody pays attention to it. And if one third of our city is disparaged and discarded, we can't call ourselves a great city. We need to work on things like that. One of the problems that we have in town is that our employers know that they can pay low wages because everybody thinks we're a poor city. We can't afford it. We can't be better. I think differently. I think we can be better. I think we can pay higher wages. Now, that really is up to the market, of course. But by the same token, we can convince ourselves that we're better and we will be better. For instance, if we right now we think very bad of ourselves. Everybody's always saying Puebla's so bad and this is so, you know, it's dirty and filthy and ugly and crime and homeless and everything else. Well, every city in the country has that. We're no different than anybody else. Our problems aren't any bigger than every other city in the country. How we deal with them is the way that the things that we have to do is how we deal with them.
So I think my last question for you, Larry, is what's special about Pueblo? What makes this city so special that you're happy to be here?
Oh my goodness. I've always told people Pueblo is a city where you go from one side of town to the other in 15 minutes. I've traveled all over the world. When I was in the military, I went all over the place. When I had my business, I went all over the country. I'm always telling people DIA is an hour and 40 minutes away and the rest of the world is at your feet. Why you would want to live in a congested city like Denver or even Colorado Springs is beyond me. We have everything here in Pueblo that you can want any place else. And if you want to travel outside and do some vacationing and traveling, it's there. But right here in Pueblo, we're a small town with big ideas, or we're a big town with small ideas. You know, take your pick. I think we're just one of the best cities I've ever been in. I've lived in a lot of places, but this is my home.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate that. Cool. So if people are listening to this podcast and they want to get connected to you and your campaign, how can they connect with you?
LarryForPueblo.com, Larry for Pueblo on Facebook, and Larry for Pueblo on Instagram.
Perfect.
So yeah, they can get a hold of me on all kinds of different ways.
Sounds good. Cool. Well, Larry, thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks. I want to really do run a positive campaign, something that's going to build us up, not break us down. The other candidates, they're trying to scare us into thinking that we're a terrible place. We're not. We're a wonderful, wonderful place. For instance, I'm on the board of Colorado Municipal League. Everybody on that board is from represents every other city in Colorado. When they come through Pueblo or they come to Pueblo, they think it's wonderful. They wonder, well, you know, geez, that's such a great place to live in. I see people all the time that come here to Pueblo to recreate and to do all kinds of things. I like to play golf. Two out of three times that I go to play golf, I'll end up playing with somebody from out of town. And that's why they come down here.
That's cool. Larry, thank you so much. I appreciate you, man.
Enjoyed it.
And thank you guys so much for listening. Once again, this has been the Pueblo Mayor Podcast brought to you by the Pueblo Star Journal. Go check out the rest of our podcasts, get to know all the candidates, and vote, vote, vote. Make sure you vote in this election. And then if we do have a runoff vote, that'll be January 4th. So keep an eye out for that as well.
Tell your friends, tell your family to get out and vote. If you have to drag them to the polls, do that. If you have to carry ballots to the box
for sure
for the old folks, and do that. Help out. Do your part.
For sure. Absolutely. For Ben Casey and Larry Atencio, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Ben.